Our first lesson, friends, comes to us in the book of Daniel. And I'm reading from the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 9. You are welcome to follow along in your own Bibles. The Pew Bibles are simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure, it was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Now, verse 13. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being, a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The word of the Lord, my friends. So what do you think? Is it good to have him back? It really is a big thing if you think about it. We literally have not had a choir in, about 2 years. Amazing. Oh, It's good to sing. I think they'll let you say. Second lesson, friends, today is from the book of Revelation, the letter of John. His revelation to the seven churches. Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, second half of verse 4. Again, receive the word of God. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I know the men's Bible class has been looking at the book of Revelation, and I'm going to guess that there might have been a few times they might have scratched their heads a little bit, but that's just the way the book of Revelation works, right? I don't know if you've ever read Revelation. It's not the easiest book to really understand and to grasp. It puzzles us. It scares us. It makes us wonder why we even opened it in the first place. What if I told you that the thousands of migrants who are in Belarus right now trying to escape the avalanche of problems in the Middle East by moving through Belarus into Poland, they have a greater grasp of the weight of the book of Revelation than we do. That's because of the kind of writing Revelation is. Not that they interpret the Bible better than anyone else, but the writing in Revelation is written for people who are being crushed by geopolitical politics, people who are being persecuted by the powers and the authorities, people who suffer because of the structures of the world that are supposed to keep us safe. For those people who are desperate and crying out for help and who are on the ropes with next to no hope for tomorrow, who see no future for their children as things are, or who cannot stand how the world wants to throw them away, Revelation answers us with Jesus the King. This is not your vacation Bible school Jesus. Someone in seminary once presented us with a Jesus doll from a Cokesbury Christian bookstore, if you remember those. It looked like a large Cabbage Patch doll, with dark Mediterranean complexion and a robe and a tunic, which is good and right that Jesus did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. But what the doll missed was that the Jesus who saves us is not something that can be rolled into a doll. Cute and cuddly Jesus is not the Jesus that walked through the passion of his torture or execution. That severe and determined Jesus could not have stepped out, or could have stepped out of any torment at any time, but he refused. Instead, with his earth-shaking love, he put one foot in front of the other, and then another, and then another. He took the execution, death, and hell itself, and all of the excruciating evil, without flinching. That same Jesus returns in Revelation, but he's even more. He's even bigger. He's even more fantastic, scarier, more majestic, awesome. In the true sense of wrapping us in awe. John writes in verse 17 that after seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet as if he were dead. He was overcome by the presence of the eternal Christ. Why does this Jesus have to be so powerful that the whole world will wail at his appearing? Woe to the powers of this world and their arrogance, their violence, their oppression, their cruelty, their greed, their falsehood, their idolatry, their lies, and their love of power. The powers of this world all seek their own good. Every government on the face of the earth seeks its own interest first. They turn away the hearts of the broken, the weak, the forgotten, the hurting, the small, and the different. The tsunami of sin that crashes into the peoples of this world is too large to truly grasp. Entire peoples are hanging in the balance as places of war and famine and pestilence and drought emerge. Evil rages wherever good people stand by. That's why we have a king in Jesus who will come to set things right. The same cloud rider from Daniel is identified in Revelation as the mighty King Jesus. He's the beginning and the end. The king over all kings. He's the one who holds everything in his hand. It's no wonder that in a world crying out for something better, he answers as God's best. If you have ever yearned for God to come and fix the world, to fix your life, in the mess that we human beings have a tendency to make, then you have prayed for Jesus to return. If you've ever languished in the depths of loneliness, been overcome by fear, or lived on the edges of society, then you have known in your heart the need for hope for this Jesus. If you have struggled to know what future we might possibly have as a people, as a church, or as a civilization, you have opened your eyes to time's horizon in search of God's answer in King Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Today is Christ the King Sunday, when we bring our Christian calendar year to a close. Our calendar begins with the birth of Jesus. It goes through his life, his death, his resurrection, and then it ends with him ruling over all. And the promise that King Jesus will come again to finish what he started. That is the story of Revelation, by the way. That's a spoiler for you, Marvin. That's it. You're done. If you are fine with the world the way it is, then you're not going to go look to Revelation. It will mean very little to you. If you are happy with the systems and powers and comfortable with worldly agency, then you are going to find Revelation fairly useless. King Jesus will be as good as that doll sitting on my office sofa as it used to. For the rest of us, though, Jesus brings us a witness. Notice that both of these passages are about seeing Jesus in heavenly majesty coming to us. These are witnesses to our King's coming. Once we recognize our King, we are witnesses, and we will get ready. It's like getting a note, an official, formal note on presidential stationery with all the seals that the president has decided to come to your place for dinner. Now, it doesn't matter what president, you know, Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, doesn't matter. If the president is absolutely certain to come to your house for dinner, then you're probably going to get ready. You're going to go to good lengths to prepare the space, to prepare the food, to prepare your appearance and everything else, right? I imagine you'll probably act differently. Your behavior might sharpen up a little bit. How much more, friends, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's the point. Once we are witnesses to the rule of Christ and his coming kingdom, we change. We spend the rest of our lives getting ready. Even when we get tired of preparing, that witness is still there. Here we are, again, this year, opening our eyes to look for our King. If we are dulled or distracted, it's time to wake up. We have been beaten down by COVID for the last nearly 2 years, yet Jesus is still King. Our witness, of course, is not just to straighten up our homes or smarten our manners or open our pantries. However, getting ready for our King is much more than how we take care of ourselves. Christian witness in the heart of Virginia means where we find oppression, we say no. Where there is injustice, we say no. Where there is evil, we say no. Where there is no love, we respond with a greater love. Where there is brokenness, we respond with mercy. Where there is estrangement, we respond with reconciliation. Where there's emptiness and need and loneliness, we answer with the witness of compassion and community and grace. We answer past sins with the needed honesty and forgiveness, present sins with repentance, and future sins with prayer for help and change. That is the witness of our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Revelation, Jesus, sparks our spirits into action. Our actions bear witness to our vision of the coming King. Our witness shapes the world around us to more closely resemble God's heart for God's people, all of them. I am so thankful for this witness that promises me something better is coming. This witness gives me hope and the desire to work for God's kingdom here today, if Jesus is your king, you are welcome to join in this witness. If you crave a more holy world, find the promise of Jesus in the middle of it all. See the glory of his coming, even and especially on a cloudy day. Watch the clouds. That day, friends, will be a good day. To God be the glory. Amen.